Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and it is my great pleasure to welcome Rabbi Wayne Dasik, author of The Real Name of God. And Rabbi Dasik poses a timeless and ageless question that so many of us wish to have a deeper understanding of. And this question is, how are we really to know God? The Bible and stories offer many conflicting views of the face of God. It can be seen as God can be seen as the vengeful God or the judging God, the merciful God. Personally, since I was a child, wishing to know the stories of the ancient messengers and leaders that God sent to help humanity understand his true essence and also the all-expanding and evolving nature of life, I have sensed that all religions follow man-made traditions and rules, but communication with the divine is really more a personal communication and natural way to enjoy both our physical and spiritual experiences. Perhaps the limited views of God that have separated our material world from the unseen world of spirit needs to be amended in order to reunite all the sparks of the divine that rest in each of our hearts and connect us to each other and to Source. Welcome, Rabbi Dasik.
Thank you so much. Thanks for inviting me to your wonderful program.
Well, you're very welcome, and you wrote a wonderful book answering many age-old questions for people to listen to today. So let me tell our listeners a little about you. Rabbi Dasik is the host of the weekly internet radio program Spirit Talk Live. He is the spiritual guide of the Elijah Minyan Jewish Renewal Community in San Diego and the director of the Soul Center for Spiritual Healing, and that has facilitators throughout the world. And he is a former faculty member of the University of San Diego and the author of several other books, including Living Judaism. Rabbi Dasik, I find that many of us have started our spiritual search in our childhood. So please tell us something about your childhood and your beginning interest in spirit or the divine.
Well, I grew up in Chicago. Some call it still the Holy City outside of Jerusalem in New York.
Why is that?
Well, it's just a great place to grow up.
A little windy, so maybe you can hear the messages of spirit from the wind.
Right. And I grew up in a traditionally oriented conservative Jewish family, conservative with a large C that is sort of in between Orthodox and Reform Judaism. And I went to Hebrew school, and I went to synagogue, and I went to youth group, and I went to Israel when I was a teenager. And eventually, obviously, I went to rabbinical school and was ordained. Now, this week is the 40th anniversary of my ordination. So I've been doing this a long time. But all this time, from the time I was a little kid until I worked on this discovery, I had two big questions about God. One is, why does the one perfect God have so many different names? Judaism has 30, 40, 60 different names for God. Christianity, Islam, Hinduism has 99, some say 999 names for God. So why does the one perfect God have so many names? And second, why does the one perfect God who loves us so much and who holds us in tender compassion and gives us this incredibly sterling set of rules to live by, which elevate the human spirit and human interaction, why does that God, frankly, behave so badly so many times in the biblical accounts and is harsh and angry?
I agree with you. As a child, I had trouble buying into this view of God. So you mentioned that you thank contemporary thinkers, writers, friends, and colleagues who have dared to take the first steps to bring God talk back into public areas. And on this radio show, Healing From Within, I have interviewed many worldwide leaders in their various specific areas. And we all seek to empower the human population to delve deeply into their spiritual nature and rediscover this divine spark of God within, which knows no one religion, no one belief system, no one cultural group, but is the underlying force for world and human transformation. So can you tell us some of the people and ideas that have influenced your thinking?
Well, I've been influenced by the Kabbalists in the 13th century, the Jewish mystics. I've been tremendously influenced by the Hasidic Rebbes of the 19th and 20th century, particularly the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidism, Rabbi Lady Yitzhak of Berdichev, the Kotzker Rebbe, the Reb Nachman, and in contemporary times, by people like my own teachers, Rabbi Shlomo Karabach, Rabbi Zalman Shechter Shalomi, and Dr. Abraham Joshua Heschel, Elie Wiesel. Those are the people who, in this very rational, this highly rational age since the Enlightenment and the Emancipation, these are the people who have been delving deep into the world of the spirit.
All right, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the penetrating questions they have all asked, because you're very interested in this, is how they have embraced the hidden God who has finally been found and discovered to be the real being or the whole complete God. Is that so?
Right. Well, they were the ones who gave me the springboard into my exploration, because given the two questions I asked at the beginning, my conclusion was that all of the names that we have for God, none of the names that we have for God is God's real name, God's whole name. In other words, each one of the names that we have is only one aspect or attribute or manifestation or behavior of God. So if you picture a beach ball, for example, each one of the colored panels of the beach ball is one of the names of God representing only one of the aspects. My question was, could I go back into the Bible itself and find there, hiding in plain sight for all these years, just waiting for the right energetic moment in time to be revealed, could I find the name of the whole divine beach ball? Could I find the name of the whole, complete, total God? And I did.
Well, hold that thought for a minute, because we're going to get to the name in a little while. But I agree with you. Each of us also, as human beings, is an aspect of God and has the divine spark of God within. So I kind of think that when we put all of humanity together, we become that divine, eternal, loving energy of the universe, ever expanding and creating and co-creating a dynamic, changing world. Now, right. you mention, and this is very interesting, you thank your students, mainly coming from Catholic backgrounds, who asked you about Jewish beliefs and practices, mainly because they have recognized Jesus was a Jewish rabbi, and their curiosity and questions superseded the strict interpretation of the rules and structures given to them or written long ago, after Jesus was no longer alive. So I think their sincere desire, as perhaps many spiritual people's desire, is to know the truth of that long ago time when perhaps Judaism was supposed to receive a new addition or chapter to its unfolding history, but maybe not necessarily a whole new religion as happened after Jesus died. That's my own personal feeling. He was to add to many of the ideas and beliefs with the way he lived his life and the way he brought love, total love, into the equation.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you completely. Jesus' teachings was, in essence, ancient Reformed Judaism. Jesus said, we don't have to come to God through law, that is, through all the rituals and the observances that Judaism has, including observing the Sabbath and keeping kosher and circumcising the sons. But we can come to God through love and faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it became much easier for people to come to God through love and faith than through all the what some saw as the arduous legal system and the observances. My own feeling, to take it one step further, is that Islam in the 600s in this time, the common era, Islam was an attempt to synthesize the legal system of Judaism and the love system of Christianity, and it failed in that task and instead formed a third religion with a third Godhead. So that's how I see the evolving theology.
I agree with you. Now, you mentioned on your journey you have felt the very real spiritual presence of Elijah, the prophet, who according to Jewish tradition will herald the Masonic moment when all will know there is one God, one world, one people. Please tell us something about this part of your experience.
Well, you read the acknowledgments very, very well, Cheryl. Good for you. That's very sweet of you. Thank you. Elijah, according to tradition, is the prophet who will return to earth to herald the coming of the Messianic age. And so Elijah is a prophet of who demands social justice and social reform and decency and dignity amongst all people, and holds out for us the vision of a world of goodness and righteousness and justice and peace and friendship and love. And so Elijah has always been for me the paradigm shifter, the one who will announce the coming of the Messianic Age. And as you mentioned in the introduction, I named my minion, my prayer group, after Elijah. We call it the Elijah Minion because in renewing Judaism in our age and bringing back the deeply spiritual, the deeply God-centered, we move closer and closer to the coming of the Messianic Age, to Eden on earth once again.
And you, as a spiritual rabbi, embody what this show is about, and all the guests that I have had in all different fields. We all wish to bring the integrity and the love of spirit into our everyday lives and to make this world a more cooperative instead of competitive world to live in for our children, and to bring hope that has been sometimes lost through many experiences. Now, I am an intuitive Reiki or hands-on energy healer, and let's say medium, because when I meditate, I do get information that helps many people deal with some of the situations that they're dealing with. And it always comes with love and to help the spiritual development of my clients. So when I'm connected to that higher state of energy, I actually feel the love and oneness of life and the need to help in any small way to share this unity and oneness between all people and all religions. And I think that is your intent. And that is the one of the main themes of your lovely book and the prayers and the meditations and the poetry that you share there. So religion is meant to heal and love and foster fairness, integrity, and faith in a higher view of self and others. And many times I have said to people that I feel that God, when he said the Jewish people are his chosen people and they would go out into the world and multiply, I sense that he meant all the people of all cultures and religions, regardless of beliefs, were meant to embrace his love. And so, therefore, I believe all the people are the chosen of God.
Well, the finding of this book, the discovery of the one name of God, says a number of things to us. Actually, there are four world-changing reformations. And probably the most exciting and probably the most important of all, even though the other three are certainly important, but it is the oneness consciousness that there is one God. You know, the theme song of the world these days seems to be, my God's better than your God.
Right.
And if you don't think so, I'll become a fundamentalist to make you think so, or I'll become a rational militant to make you believe so, or worse comes to worse, I'll become a terrorist and force you to believe so.
Mm-hmm.
What we're getting right here is a message from God, which says, there is one God. I am the parent of you all. I love you all.
Mm-hmm.
I do have one name, but actually I don't care what you call me, because just like in a family, one child may call father, and another may call daddy, and another may call pops. Call me whatever you want. Relate to me however you want, but know that I am complete, full, unconditional, non-judgmental love. And I love you, all my children, equally. I don't play favorites. And I hope that you will love me as I love you. And most of all right now, I hope that you will love each other. And
yes,
that's why this is the right energetic moment in time for this revolutionary discovery, because what God is saying to us is, my children, learn to live together in unity, harmony, tranquility, and peace, or because you have developed the scientific and technological knowledge that you have, you could destroy each other and perish from this earth. The time is now to understand oneness consciousness, one God, one world, one people.
Wonderful. That is so well and so beautifully said. Now, for some of us, myself included, and for about 25% of the population, we do have a remembrance of our divine connection to the life force we came from or emanate from, and the promises our souls made before coming to this physical life.
Right.
Rabbi Dussek, can you give us your view of who God really is?
God is God. God is, first of all, the everything of the everything.
Mm-hmm.
God encompasses the everything of the everything. That is means that God is male and female, good and evil, light and dark and shadow, justice and mercy. God is the everything of the everything. And God says to us, you, my children, are created in my image and my reflection. You, too, are the everything of the everything. Everything of this world is of God. Second of all, God says to us, I am the transcendent God of creation and history, and I am also the immanent God deep within you. There is within you your own God self, and you can touch me through your God self because God is within you.
Absolutely. And you also wrote in reference to this. You wrote this in the book. This life is an obligation to the souls from the past, to the men and women, and especially the children who are the inheritors and at the same time the transmitters of who and what we are. And it is a blessing to be alive when all the spiritual energies, when our spiritual seeking and new beginnings or new openings bring us to new revelations. And so God, therefore, also sustains us and acts with grace and kindness and responds when we call to him and ask him for guidance and help. Anyone can meditate and make this connection if they truly wish to. So now I think it is time to please tell us the real name of God.
Well, just to end what you were just saying, what God is saying to us at this moment in time is you can have with me a deep, personal, intimate, loving relationship with me, each individual, and God. So the name of God is Anochi. Anochi. It's one of those ch words. One of those ch words.
Okay.
Now, if you're Jewish, you have Hanukkah or Challah, so you get the ch. If you're not Jewish, you get Johann, the composer, Johann Sebastian Bach. That same guttural sound. Anochi usually is translated as I. Me, I. But Hebrew has another word for I, which is the small ego, the small self, the personal ego. This I is the totality, the completeness of everything. So it is used 359 times in the Bible. When it is in the voice of God, it is when no one aspect or attribute or one part of God will suffice, but the totality of God is vital to the event or to the teaching. It is also used in the voice of human beings when a human being is asking, how do I come into the fullness of my God self? How do I touch God within me?
Yes. So the real name of God is
Anochi.
Anochi. And
we
while
spell it in English, A-N-O-C-H-I.
Okay. Anochi. And while the being of Anochi is majestic and holy, it is also the designation, I'm rephrasing what you just said, of God within, the God with whom each of us may have a deep and personal and intimate loving relationship. And that's what every one of my shows in one way or another has tried to point out to listeners, that we have within us the ability to find the peace and love, health and happiness, and a good physical and spiritual life. Rabbi Dussek, you write that Anochi is the complete, whole, total God, neither far off nor untouchable, but close and dear. And as I have discovered, the love and peace that connects us all to God is there for all of us. So I wholeheartedly embrace this oneness, but I find it hard to imagine that the Orthodox and conservative sects of any of the religions, Judaism or Catholicism or the Islam religion, are open to this wonderful marvelous interpretation as you and other spiritually minded seekers are open to the doors of our hearts and minds. So how are we able to share these ideas with less advanced religious members?
Well, you know, any time there is a challenge to long-held, comfortable beliefs in anything, religion, government, education, pick anything, it's scary because people are comfortable with long-held, comfortable beliefs.
Yes.
So we put it out there, and people who have not considered this before, as they read it, as they come to talks that I give and workshops that I conduct, they have these aha moments saying, well, of course, this makes perfect sense because it answers so many of the contradictions and the paradoxes and the mysteries that I've carried with me my whole life about God. It opens up the wholeness, the oneness of God, and I understand it and I embrace it. Now,
As do I. And you describe our physical life as a special mission, as do I, and are being sent into the void of creation and a being to live on earth, as do I. So can you tell us about the reasons a soul and part of God might need and want this human experience?
Say that again. I'm sorry. I didn't quite get the question.
Okay. Can you tell us the reasons a soul or that divine spark of God that is represented in each human being might need and want to come into this human experience?
First of all, God created human beings because God was lonely in the heavens. The angels weren't enough fun to just play with. So God created human beings so God would have somebody to talk to here on earth.
He's everywhere.
Well, that's it. God is everywhere. She is everywhere. For us, it is knowing more and more. You know, this is the old sage teaches, you don't know something until you know its name. So when we know the name of God, we begin to know God more deeply, more intimately, and we can understand more of the secrets of the universe, the mysteries of creation, and at the same time, we can have that deep, loving relationship, a relationship that's almost like pillow talk with your human lover. You're in the most intimate relationship of all, and you come to God and you say, hello, God, it's me. I'd say, it's me, Wayne. You'd say, hello, it's me, Cheryl. And share with me, God, a bit of your strength and your fortitude and your wisdom and your understanding and your insight and your guidance and your counsel and your friendship and your love. Be with me, catch my tears, rejoice with me in my greatest moments. And that is that intimate relationship, because with God, when we are disconnected from God, that's when we feel existential angst and loneliness.
Yes.
But when we are with God, no matter what, in our moments of greatest joy or moments of greatest sorrow, when we stay connected to God and we stay in the divine flow, we stay in the divine design, then together with God, we can do anything.
Yes, I agree with you. How will knowing the real name of God impact each of us and our world? You offer four significant ways.
Yeah, we've talked about most of them. God is the everything of the everything, and so it braids together the masculine and feminine, which has been so split.
Yes.
For so long, and Eden won't come until the masculine and feminine are reunited. So we've begun that process. We can see it in our world over the last 30, 40 years. It is the transcendent and the immanent God. It is the God of oneness. And it's also the God who so many people get stuck. Our young people get stuck on this harsh, angry God who brings plagues and opens up the earth to swallow the unfaithful. So this says, no, that's only one aspect of God. And when you go on to get your PhDs in French literature and nuclear physics, you don't have to get stuck with a 12-year-old theology.
Right. All right. So what does it mean to have found Anochi?
Anochi. That Nochi is a good Italian pasta. But, but this is Anochi, Anochi, the I-ness of I. Well, it means all those things. It means that we are coming closer and closer to Eden on Earth once again. And it means that we can be more and more constantly aware. I mean, you said it. God is everywhere. So in the second half of the book, we give, as you mentioned, poems and meditations and prayers to come closer and closer to God. We also have 30 chants there, chants like songs. And you can't put a chant in a book, so we put them on a website. The website is God, G-O-D, is, I-S, Anochi, A-N-O-C-H-I, .com. There are 30 chants in the book. You can go to the website, and you can listen to them, as we used to say on the old South Side of Chicago where I grew up, free for nothing. You don't have to pay for listening to the chants, although if you'd like a download or a CD, you can order them and purchase them.
I think in the oneness of God, as you have discovered and explained and brought into this modern day time, our human and spiritual essence can eliminate the duality or conflicting messages, and we can merge our physical and spiritual lives to cooperate for the highest good of ourselves and each other and have a more responsible and productive life experience. Would you agree?
Well, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
I want to thank you, Rabbi Wayne Dasik, for sharing both the ancient and modern day name of God that unites us all as the children of God, and who may remember, so we may remember, the promise that lies within, which is our true reality and the path to knowing how to co-create lives that reflect the beautiful values of God and love. Please read The Real Name of God for a clearer understanding of this God consciousness and a fuller connection to the God within. Please go to God is, say it with me,
Anochi,
right, .com to purchase this inspiring book. In summarizing today's show, Rabbi Dasik and I have shared our personal journeys in the search from the earliest days of this life, learning to understand our inner impulses and connections for expressing in a more meaningful way the memories of the deepest recesses of our being. As we all come to discover our spiritual and religious search, we can choose to remember we are each the bits and pieces of the universal energy of eternal life and source, and the continuation throughout time and space of the beauty of creation and love. And as we now witness the changing events in the world and the massive effects on humankind through the breakdown of many monetary and societal systems, we must focus on the changes that will come to bring greater levels of human and spiritual freedom. Rabbi Dasik expressed what is needed individually and collectively in this beautiful affirmation. I am flowing with well-being. I am experiencing life. I am renewing what has been restrained. I am manifesting balance. I am becoming the flowering of humankind. I am the center. I am bringing heaven on earth. I am acknowledged as the being of magnificence that I am. I am that I am. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, of Healing From Within, and I welcome you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com. Go to WebTalkRadio.net or DreamVision7Radio.com to hear masters and leaders in the field of science, medicine, religion, spirituality, education, and the arts, who share methods and hopes for an improved world community. Thank you.